Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gab Murphy, and today I'm joined by two strapping young fellas I just found out on the street, walking around.
Give me some change.
With nothing to do. So I thought, bloody hell, let's get them into a podcast. Daniel Krupa.
Hello.
Rory Powers.
Howdy.
How's the streets?
Yeah, not bad.
Tough, it's been cold.
Yeah. Unforgiving.
We were both here quite late last night, and we're back in again. Do you feel like sometimes we spend too much time together?
When I got home last night, I was like, I'm going to sleep. I just got home at about half 11. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to sleep now for 6.5 hours and then get up and go back to that place I just saw.
I was in here for 7:15.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I was in at 7:30.
Should we just move in here? No one would know.
Imagine how much you save on rent.
Look, there's like curtains back there. We could just make a little cubby hole.
I was thinking about that. Do we spend too much time together? It's like we're going for some drinks with another part of our office next week. And they're like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Well, hung out with these actually.
Good live podcast,
We actually came in on Saturday. We just hung out all afternoon.
Yes, if you don't know, we also do a show called Prepare to Try, which is really good, and you should all check it out. We've got our own channel now.
It just launched. Prepare to Try YouTube channel.
The other day, I was telling my girlfriend about it, and I said, "Oh, like we're gonna have our own channel." And she said, "Oh, do they not want you on the main channel anymore?" And I was like, "No, I don't." Well, I didn't think that's not right now.
That's not how they sold it to us.
Like, is that maybe why we've been given our own channel, youtube.com/prepared to try?
You know, like, that there was like another email chain going on with the rest of the company being like, boys, they're gone.
They fucking went for it. Can you believe this shit? All
right. Now we can take this channel out to Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Yeah, we were the only thing holding them back.
Well, the reason we didn't get the Coke Zero contract was because of the park bench story.
I went serious. I don't even mean serious.
Seriously, Coke Zero say we're not aligning with a man who didn't get wanked off in a park.
We only get aligned with men who do.
That's the Coke Zero brand.
Yeah.
Why do you think we went with Wayne Rooney?
But yeah, if he's nothing but benches.
He's getting it non-stop.
If you like video games and people playing video games.
And grot.
I should explain what it is, yeah.
And grot. We basically play. We started off playing Dark Souls.
Yep.
Then we played Dark Souls 3. Then we played Bloodborne. And Cuphead. We basically try and
do hard as nails games.
Like, we're bang into the Souls game. Yeah. So at the moment, we're doing like a series of Souls likes on the channel, which you should check out.
I should say, if you don't like Let's Plays, but you like this podcast, it's fairly similar in tone.
Yeah.
Like, some people just listen to it as a podcast while they're doing other stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd say check it out if you haven't.
Or if you just hate everything, just subscribe anyway.
Yeah,
but also watch.
Oh, yeah, watch it as well. I guess.
Just have it on
just
the
leave
background.
It on.
Yeah.
Have you got an old computer, an old laptop? I've got an old laptop.
Pay Russian bots to watch this.
No, don't pay Russia. British bots.
Who's
Russia.
Good?
Support British bots.
Bring it home. Get those British bots.
No one uses
to
British
work.
Bots anymore. Best bots in the world.
Respect our service boss. That would be really good if you could do everything that we just said. We've got some really good stuff coming up, I think.
Yeah.
We just did a Tomb Raider experience, which you might have seen on our Instagram stories, where we pretended to be Lara Croft and did a bunch of escape.
Yeah, you tucked it in between your thighs. It was like Silence Lab.
You can't in the video.
I'm going to rape
you. Would you rape me? I'd rape me.
Can you imagine if like I use like the Q Lazarus Goodbye Horse on it? That's the first strike we get. And like the fucking nerds in
the first strike, but you having your dick tucked between your legs in a YouTube video is fine.
Well, that's the thing, there's no algorithms for picking out whether or not there's a video of someone tucking their dick between their legs. Music algorithm. Yeah. It's very sophisticated. Yeah.
Well, somebody said to him, do you want to wear one of these tent tops? He's like, no, I brought this robe.
Yeah. Imagine that, like the US wake up and be like, oh, Prepared Troy's already had a strike. I wonder what that is. Look at him like, goodbye horse. Why do I know that? Oh my God. What have they done?
Gav, why were we here so late last night?
We were here so late last night because, we were doing bits and bobs, but there was a Nintendo Direct on, and by the time that we got to Nintendo Direct time, we thought, fuck it, we might as well just stay for it. Yeah. And then Alicia and I were doing a stream on the International Women's Day stream, so I thought, fuck it, I might as well stay and watch that as well. You left.
I don't believe the reality. I thought I might as well stay and be on the stream.
Oh, yeah. Might as well stay and do it.
Might as well.
Do the thing that I've got to do. But we watched a Nintendo Direct, which dropped. And at the start, I was like, this is going to be an underwhelming one because they started rolling out the 3DS stuff. Yeah. And I don't even know what my 3DS is. I wish I did. I fucking love that console. I actually don't know where it is. I think it might be in my drawer out there. But...
He was wondering that last night, sat at the desk beside the drawer.
The drawer.
If only there's a way of finding out what's inside this magical box. But yeah, it started off fucking Dylan's Rolling Western, which is not a good game.
I never even heard of that game.
It's awful. It's awful. I had to play
it. Like all eShop games.
That wasn't an eShop game. That was a fucking full release. So start off with that. Then Luigi's Mansion Remake coming to 3DS, not to Switch. What are they doing? I was like, what is happening?
It's not a remake, considering that console has had like a bigger version of that type of sequel. Like, exactly. Dark Moon is a proper big game.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Luigi's Mansion's really short. It's good.
Yeah.
But it's a weird.
Strange, isn't it? But then the Switch bit started, and oh my days, what did we get?
Oh, out of nowhere as well.
You say the first thing that, I mean, we lost our shit for.
Yes. So they showed some Dark Souls footage. So I think it's weird because we've all focused on the fact that they've released the Solera amiibo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also show footage of remastered running,
yeah,
which is the first time. And like, I think it's a bit unfair because I think some people after Shadow Colossus, their expectation was like, it's going to look amazing. That's like a complete remake. Mm. This is a remastered. So it is, you know, it's the original thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to look crazily different. It's going to be a bit sharper. But then at the end, they showed that there's going to be a little Solera amiibo.
Yeah.
We probably just lost our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, because we were like screaming and stuff and really excited about it. Like, I missed at the time, I read it later when I was going home, that like what it does is anytime you scan it, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you'll do Praise of the Sun and Moat. So you don't have to pick it up in the game.
Yeah.
Which we never actually did.
That's insane.
But you have it. No.
No, we missed it. Yeah. Then we lost it. Just so did it IRL, baby.
So you can... Yeah, we're just usually doing thumbs up. Yeah. It's like you couldn't learn how to do it.
What? Like, praise the sun, polite bow.
Sitting down doing the cross-legged one.
But so, yeah, it's a thing that people like mocked up for years that they would do Slow Amiibo.
It's so
You know,
cool.
When they first came out, they were, you know, it was just loads of ranges of Nintendo characters, but they have done weird ones since, you know.
Yeah.
They did a Shovel Knight one. I think it's cool that they're doing this because ostensibly, like, Dark Souls is, like, at the other end of the spectrum from like Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's like this little affinity between them where, you know, the Japanese company, the Japanese company has like really exacting like quality control.
Yeah.
And they just like, I think, embrace them going, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're going to come to our console. Yeah. You're going to be part of like the Nintendo thing as well.
That's cool. Like go full on with it.
Yeah.
It's cool as well. Cause as we were talking about, it's quite hard to get your hands on inexpensive official Dark Souls merchandise.
No, it's all like Figma or the first four figure stuff. That
these
like
beautiful
box,
beasts.
Which are like, that's as high end as you can get with collectibles, really.
Yeah.
Have you seen that set that's just come out now? It's not specifically Dark Souls. It's not specifically, Bloodborne. But it's like, they're being sold at GameStop and Forbidden Planet over here. And it's basically like Crash is in it. There's a Sackboy in it.
Oh, PlayStation have done their own collectibles. But they don't do anything in the game.
Right.
They're not like Amiibo.
No,
but like the PlayStation collectibles.
Yeah, they're like little action figure things. I saw someone the other day that bought them all and was going to like unbox them.
Are they like mystery boxes?
I showed you. No, they're open.
There's like
no 12 quid.
There's no midway point. Like, the thing is with them, they're like little figurines. But if you want anything like an action figure, like obviously I was obsessed. We grew up in the golden age of action figures. Yeah. But I used to get an action figure every Saturday when I was little.
All those McFarlane ones, man. Yeah. Fucking amazing.
But if you want something good like that now, that is, you're talking 70 quid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's Figma Bloodborne ones. That's 100 quid.
Well, that's why the slow ones are
obviously getting screwed for like import duty and conversion rates and stuff.
I think Amiibos are the perfect balance between like not paying a lot for what it is, but also it being quite high quality as well. Because like a lot of those Amiibos look really
good. The only thing is, if I was a kid, I would be like, you can't pose it or anything.
Yeah.
And I used to love like playing with figures that you could do stuff with. Whereas that is just a little.
Did you ever have
statue,
like, because obviously like, I used to play with the shit out of my action figures. Did you ever have one that just like couldn't move?
Yep.
So you just have to kind of like make him do everything with, because I had a Godzilla, but you couldn't move his arms or anything. Yeah, he was just static.
The Mr. T-18 one that I've got, still got as well. His like arms go up and down and his legs go up and down, but that's it.
Yeah.
And he's got like, he's all plastic, but his head is rubber. It's like squeezy rubber, so you can like squeeze his face. So I used to do like, my Power Rangers, and like it was like Mr. T against the Megazord and the Dragonzord, and like they would punch and then their punches would like hit Mr. T's face and it would go in, and like that would be the story.
Oh, pity the fool.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why they were fighting Mr. T. It feels like they'd be on the same side. But.
Who knows? My two favorites were Kurt Angle and Rikishi, two wrestling figures, but those are the only ones I owned, so I would just like make them fight. I mean, some of the most epic battles in history have been fought between Kurt Angle and my it's incredible, some of the like week long fights
and that's things. Non-canon
Dragon Ball Z style.
You've seen shit Dale hasn't even heard about. Dale's like, what?
Actually, to be fair,
Dale is so obsessed about wrestling, he probably knows about it.
He probably does. Oh yeah, was that the saga, the 2 week saga?
What, the one from Port Stewart in 96? Yeah.
I love it when you thought Kurt was down and then he tag team with Godzilla and then
when your mum came in and said like your sausages were ready.
Well, the Port Stewart massacre, you had that flashlight in your pillow and you're still in.
I used to fucking buy all the McFarlane stuff, and like to the point where it just got stupid.
Like weird S&M Goldilocks, all them sort of ones.
Oh no, I didn't buy those ones. I bought like
Return to Oz and like the twisted versions of like fairy tales.
You're buying sex dolls?
No, but I bought
sexy dolls.
Jason Voorhees and like Leatherface. Then I also bought like, I don't know why, like a full set of Little Nicky action figures. Remember the fucking film Little
Mate,
Nicky?
I bought those.
I just had them for years.
But
and
it's
years
when
and
you
years.
Start like earning a little bit of spare money
yeah.
and you're like, you're still a bit of a kid. I've got a bit better. Yeah. But like when you're a bit teenager, you'd be like, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I've got a full set of like McFarlane Beatles figures.
I've got the Metallica ones, but I recently sold them, yeah.
I don't want to go onto this topic of conversation because it's a dangerous path, but I bought so many Matrix figures when I was growing up. But like shit ones as well, like Morpheus in the chair, but you can't like, if you take him out, he's still in chair pose. Yeah, chair pose. Like, he couldn't move.
All the fucking Zion revolutionaries just like, oh yeah, this guy who we've definitely created, he's definitely in the film. He's got this like mad backstory that's on the card of the thing. And it's just like a dude in a fucking jumper with holes in it.
Like, are those He-Man's arms? Are you reusing this? No.
Yeah, your SD card. he's one of the revolutionaries.
One of the robots.
Solaire Amiibo. Great. One of the games, but I don't think, I saw this on one of the directs a while back, but they didn't really show anything from it, which was No More Heroes Traffic Strikes Again. So they give us a little bit more information about this, I'm really excited about. So I think they're doing some stuff with the Hotline Miami guys,
because at the
time they were like tweeting back, tweeting back and forth, because I think in the first video, Travis is playing Hotline Miami, like, and the idea is that there's a world of glitches. He has to go into like different video games worlds to fight glitches.
And when he goes into those worlds, the game style changes.
Changes.
The mechanics change.
That's cool.
So we saw quite a lot. But I don't think we saw a Hotline Miami bit, really. He didn't jump into Hotline Miami. So I think maybe the games are not, maybe they're not, I couldn't really recognize if it wasn't anything like super.
He wasn't like running through the Pac-Man tubes or something.
No, but there was a bit like Metal
Gear.
So I think like there's going to be kind of styles that you, aping styles rather than being like, I am in Mario. But it did look good.
It looks amazing, doesn't it? Really pretty game.
Because I don't think you'd noticed it before. Then when you came on, you were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it looks great.
Did you ever play No More Heroes on the Wii?
No.
Very good.
Never did.
Normally Heroes 2, not so much.
Too many games, guys. Too many games flying at me from all directions.
But yeah, I'm excited for this one. Well, just anything on Switch I'm kind of excited for. But this, because it's like a brand new game, there's a lot of like remastered and like Crash Bandicoot people going nuts about for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is a cool thing that's coming to Switch, but it's good to see actual new things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming out for it.
There's always going to be a bit of it more exciting with a new title.
Yeah.
This could be anything. Could be the best game ever. We don't know.
Could be shite.
Could be shite. Oh, I didn't.
Could be the next Sushi Striker.
I didn't think of that.
What if it's great?
Sushi Striker.
To be fair, that is
stressful
really good.
And
Sushi
fun.
Striker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a dystopian world in which people don't.
Sushi's banned.
Sushi is banned.
Imagine that.
It's like The Incredibles with sushi.
Wait, how's it like The Incredibles? Oh, Heroes.
Yeah,
bands.
They're not.
Also
the
I
heroes,
was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like
they don't eat sushi.
Gav, you fucking idiot.
It did look good, although I wish you were chucking the sushi into someone's mouth, not to a chef who was serving it.
Yeah.
So you're like the little sous chef, like doing everything. Chuck it to the forward facing front of house.
So you're like throwing it to Jiro and he's getting all credit for
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Like,
absolutely.
Mate, he's learning how to make an egg.
It should have been like, yeah, like Benihana style, like right in front of them, like flicking it off into big chubby guy's mouths.
Essentially, it's match three game, isn't it?
Yeah. I spoke to someone recently who, you know, that Jiro guy. I spoke to someone recently who was like, oh, yeah, I went to his restaurant once. I was like really into this guy. I've seen the documentary and sort of just constantly looking at photos of his sushi. I was like, oh my God, what was it like? Because like, it's really small. I think it's only like four seats.
It's like a tube station, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, there's a sushi. And I was like, yeah.
It's
typically,
tiny.
Yeah. It's not a burger. They're tiny.
Rory, do you know that's raw fish?
What?
Sometimes rice. He basically went to it. And I was like, oh, what was it like? Did you get to speak to him? Because it's quite a small place. And he said, no. It was his son mostly does it now, which is kind of what they do in the documentary. And
that's
I was
cool.
Like, oh, that's a bit annoying. And you could tell this person's obviously spent a lot on this meal. I was like, no, it was actually better than you were doing. I was like, okay. Like, that's fine if you think that.
Yeah.
Eating your nigiri. Oh.
Yeah.
Do you also dream of sushi?
Yeah.
say you do.
Is your dad might pop by?
Is he in the back making that egg thing?
So we had a bunch of other stuff. We'll come to the big thing at the end. So Okami HD, which I didn't play that one. It just got re-released recently and I'd like to play
it. I've never played it.
Me neither, so...
It seems like it's taken a lot of stuff from the Wii one, which I think is a really, really good version of it.
Yeah.
Because it obviously it's a paintbrush thing, so it could actually.
I think what's cool about that when they showed it, they showed when it was like undocked, people like using the touchscreen.
Yeah.
And they were a bit weird when the Switch came out a year ago. They were like, oh, we might not use Zelda can't use the touchscreen. It's like, well, we want to keep the same experience that you can keep when you're playing it on the TV.
Yeah.
And this one, like, no, we can do that with the Joy-Con. Because we were saying last night, it's like, I've seen the shit the Joy-Con can do.
Yeah.
Don't tell me there are barriers now. I've seen it move. I've seen it turn into a little fucking spider crab.
I've seen things.
It can be a piano.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it can't be a pointer.
So that was really good. Captain Toad has come in, so they're starting to bring over like all the other Wii U games that lots of people have never played.
I've had a copy of Captain Toad in cellophane on my shelf for like 3 years. It just looked really good.
Yeah,
and they've added
brilliant.
New worlds. They've added like a new Donk City little map.
That's
it's
cool.
Awesome. It's a really cute little puzzle game.
We said it last night, but how good would it be if the bits in New Donk City, because obviously when in Odyssey where you run into Toad, he's in his Captain Toad outfit and he's doing shit. It'd be awesome if it was like a little crossover and you're like, you give the power moon to Mario and he goes on his way.
Yeah, we were saying that it's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. It's like what's happening at stage left.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Imagine if he's just having like having loads of rows with Toadette. There's like heartbreak. It's like like Mike Lean movie.
Yeah.
Heartbreak.
You never talked to me.
Little Nightmares, which I loved when it came out. Didn't finish it.
This comes with all the DLC.
It comes with all the DLC, which I didn't even know there was like another child in it.
Yeah. It's a different character.
Yeah.
Also, if it's got amiibo support. If you touch Pac-Man amiibo on it, because it's a Namco game, you get the creepiest Pac-Man mask ever as the main character. It's like really creepy. It's like
some
out of like the Strangers or something.
I feel like you should be able to whack the Soleil one on that as well and get something from that.
Imagine like Soleil on Zelda and you get like Sunlight Shield.
Don't even.
That's happening.
You think so? Holy shit.
Well, he's
going to
have uses
cool.
in other games.
Yeah.
We also got South Park. That's coming to Switch.
It's weird they didn't say Stick of Truth, though.
No.
Because recently when Fractured Butthole came out on everything, they were like, oh, Stick of Truth. Like, you could get that free in some bundles.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of people may not have played it, so they want to play both of them.
Maybe
but
they just want to focus on the new one.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like,
also you can get this. Yeah,
yeah, no, you
close
mean.
To the time. Just go
because I play a lot of the first one, and we played the second one at preview for a bit, but then I never played it really.
No, I didn't get a chance either. So this again, like, just good opportunity.
Yeah, Mario Tennis was looking very good. You're not into it, Powers?
Ah.
I think it's one of those games. Like,
that's my response.
I'm not like excited to see it, but I know I'll have fun playing it. Because it's like, I don't need to see it all previewed and stuff. I just want to have a copy, and then we're playing doubles together, and we'll have a really good time playing it. I bet. Well, and it'd be really like, tennis games are wicked.
Well, that's what I had on when I had on 3DS. It became like a game where if I was playing a full game that I was getting sick of, I'd just be like, oh, this is annoying me so much. Tennis.
Same with Mario Kart. If I saw a trailer for that, I'd be like, I can't wait to get it, but I'm not that fussed about seeing tracks and characters. Yeah. I look forward to when I have it.
Are they going
to
bring in the like Wii tennis style like mechanics into?
Maybe when you don't.
I'll be quite good.
I'd be quite into that. Like, I played a shit ton of Wii tennis.
Yeah,
it was good. Yeah, on a plane, oof, you go up the aisle. I'll go down in the bottom.
Ooh, but then they brought it home. They said there's one more thing to go.
They did the Steve Jobs.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of fucking Splatoon stuff, which we don't really play. So they spent it was like this mad trailer for Splatoon 2, where there's this new girl walking through.
Expansion.
Really strange. Walking through a tube. Big carriage. Yeah, it went off. Felt like it went off.
It's like one of those dangerous people that you see going through those doors. You know, like, go through on a tube. You know, like, whenever I'm on a tube and that happens, I'm like freaked out.
You've seen someone go through those doors?
Yeah, all the time.
Loads.
Not all the time. I've seen lots of times. Yeah. Somebody's just like blasé walking through all the carriages. And I'm just like, you don't give a shit. And that worries me because I'm like,
for a reason.
What?
I was like,
what else is that person gonna do?
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, so then you went on this one more thing, and we were like, ooh, I wonder what it's gonna be. Break went to a bit more Splatoon.
We just had
this shit, man. And like, what are they? The squidlings swimming around in their little paint. To be fair, I'm having a go.
Stop the emails coming in.
We had a good time with Splatoon when we played it.
It's great
when it first came out. Like, Joe and I played
the salmon. I'm not into it.
The salmon was awesome.
Good time playing.
I actually played a shit ton of that game. The campaign's pretty fun.
Joe and I had like a 3-hour train journey once. So we just played we literally just got the code. We played it an entire way and just drank beer. And it was
great.
Good fun time. But then something's happening. There's a big old fire thing in the sky. What could it be? Bloody Smash Brothers. Powers?
Oh my god, I was so excited. As soon as I saw that big old fiery ball form the Smash Bros logo, I could just feel my destiny, you know, aligning in front of me.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. I was trying to like explain to you guys in the least dickish way possible.
It didn't work.
The how good I am at Smash Bros.
You were like, I'm so excited. I'm not, because it's just, it's going to consume me. And I'm not excited for it, but I am.
It's not going to be fun playing with you guys. You literally said that. You said, I'm so good, it's not going to be fun playing with you guys.
Now that you're saying it back to me, it sounds a bit asshole-less.
And it was like 10:45 as well. We'd been here since 7.
I've been grumpy. So. I just won like 3 games of Fortnite. I felt untouchable. I was like, bring me Smash right now. I'll kick your asses.
We were like, you don't have to. We can play together. Shut up.
And it's a new one as well.
Yeah.
A new Smash Bros as well. Not like the Mario Kart where they're
it's like really weirdly ominous teaser for it. Like the fact that they're plunged into darkness and this fiery ball rises into the sky. Yeah. Just embers illuminating Mario's face.
Yeah.
It's really dramatic.
I swear, maybe not Melee, but Brawl. One of them had like a similar sort of.
I know they used like fire imagery. Where,
it
was like space. It was like that. There was one on a planet.
Some of them are like weirdly dark.
Someone like Destin in the US did a really good screenshot of like the end screen and was like, how many of these silhouettes? Because like, if you look at the silhouettes, it's obviously all the characters that's going to be in it. And how many silhouettes can you name? It's a cool thread if you go on Destin's thing.
This little ball with shoes.
Yeah.
Zelda.
I think it's Kirby.
And we're getting Breath of the Wild Link as well, which is going to be amazing.
Because
presumably they'll keep like classic Link, because they've got like Toon Link as well, and then now maybe Breath of the Wild Link.
But
not that, you'll have like Revali's Gale to go up in the sky.
But not
some of the champions, they could be in it.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. That'd be awesome.
But still not
Skull Kid. How is Skull Kid not in Smash Bros?
But not the Odyssey Mario in that trailer though.
It's not Cappy.
Cappy's
in it on his own.
Nah, that would have been cool because
Cappy might be a power up.
Yeah,
You could have shook it on him and then maybe you get their powers.
Imagine though, like they could have done that with Mario and like Kirby style. If he hits someone with his hat, then he gets like their A or B ability. Yeah. You know, like when Kirby like sucks.
I wonder if that'd be cool if it was like, actually he drops in a crate and then anyone can have like basically temporary Kirby powers.
Yeah.
Like you can just take stuff.
That would be cool.
Little idea for your powers. What do you think about this?
Okay, let's do it.
Solaire.
Yeah.
Solaire. I need it. That might be my new main then.
I saw a really good tweet from Mark Medina in the US office as well, who said, because the other day the Witcher guys teased that Geralt's going to be in another game this year. And it was kind of like a cheeky tease from them. It's like, what if it was that? But he said it could also be Soul Calibur.
I think that's, you know, Snake was in Smash.
Yeah.
Like,
Witcher reveal at E3. Witcher 3 is coming to Switch, also, and then it's also going to be in Smash.
Also, like, you know, like a few years ago when we were in the dark days of the Wii U, you'd be like, probably not going to be, are they? When now the Switch is like the coolest, hottest console.
Yeah.
Like, I bet people are like, can we get a character in
Smash Bros, please?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Like, I didn't even think about
that. We'll take that meeting.
Yeah.
Snake was terrible in Smash. He was really bad. Yeah.
I think anyone's
favorite character.
I always think that, though. I think any time there's like a proper fighting game and then you've got a character who is known for guns, just like,
that's like Chris Redfield.
It's fucking hilarious.
It's ridiculous. But he gets all these guns out. So what?
Yeah, just watching Chris Redfield shooting Magneto.
Yeah, well, it's like it's the same with Snake. Like, because it's all these crazy things, you know, like Pikachu's throwing like thunderbolts and Mario's flying around, and then Snake just is like
crawling.
Yeah. His moves are like crawl, set a landmine, chuck a grenade. You're like, is this really as whimsical
it's
as
like Chris Redfield? It's like, fuck off. Last time I played you, you're 4 bullets.
Yeah.
Madness.
But yeah, awesome direct. Like properly good.
Do you guys, along with Smash, like have a game that you like isn't fun to play with your friends because it's just, you decimate them?
Table football.
It is actually your table football.
You won't play me at table football anymore.
No.
Even when we go into a bar and there's table football, you get visibly angry by it.
It's not fun.
No. It is fun.
It's for you.
It's fun if you're on my side.
For you, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been on your side before. It is really fun.
That applies in so many ways. Yeah.
The original, like Street Fighter 2 on Mega Drive and Mortal Kombat 2 on Mega Drive, I reckon.
You think? You just clean out every time?
Yeah. I just played so much. Yeah.
That's it. It's like being a kid. If you just had like a couple games, you just got really good at all of them.
Monster Truck, Top Trumps.
Could still be fun though.
I know all the trucks.
We literally had this conversation last night.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
But that's like a good question for you guys at home. Like, what game are you so good at that it's no longer fun to
people
play with people?
People won't want to play it with you.
Yeah, yeah. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. But yesterday there's a load of other announcements as well. Division 2, anyone care about that?
Everyone was at it.
Yeah,
that
was cool.
That was a terrible announcement. Like, I think the Division guys do a regular like community show where they like keep people up to date with like changes in the game. If you're really
good luck
into
to
it.
Them.
Yeah. And they just went, yeah, Division 2, we're working on it. You'll tell you more at E3. Just wait.
Yeah.
Wait, and then show, like, all they should reveal was the Division 2 logo, which is the Division logo with the 2.
Or do like, isn't the whole thing about it that like your beacon
Division
gets activated? Imagine they'd done something cool like that. Like a little
in the game.
I just think, I wonder if it's like for some business reason or something they had to announce it or whatever. But like, if you're going to announce it, like, give people something. Like, show them something. Like, the Smash thing, we're all like really excited for it. Like, I'm not a huge Smash fan, but you're like, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
That was just like, here's a logo.
Yeah. I think the only way that I would care about Division 2 is if it moves, it completely moves city. It's got to be a completely new city. Like, bring it to London and do the same thing that they did with New York, for London.
Yeah, I really liked the game when we played it, but then it's just, there's no reason to keep going.
No.
I think it's got to be, like, it'd almost be better to make it a fictional city. Like, almost in, because one of my problems with it was, I know it was set around Christmas and that was the whole vibe of it, but everywhere was just, like, grey and snow and cold, wrecked buildings everywhere. But if you think of, like, I don't know, like GTA, for example, like, that's one city, but such a huge dynamic range between like beaches, mountains, snow, like forests. And I think that would be a much more exciting like game to play.
I think it's all in on realism with the Clancy brand.
Yeah, I guess so.
But to solve that, you could have it three characters, more like smaller, but different locations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
London.
I'm excited. There's a lot of that game I really like.
A London game for ages.
London, but just London. Hammering down with rain constantly. So no snow, but it's just no hammering snow. Down. But
if like, it, you can't if even
it does,
see.
But if it does snow, like, it snowed the other week here, and it basically resulted in the division.
Yeah.
It was,
like,
yeah.
People were, my water went off. How like, does your fucking water go off? We were in work. Did we lose a war?
We were in work, and it started snowing a bit. And loads, as soon as it started snowing, people went, I'm going home. Yeah. I'm going home. And loads of people just left the office. About 10 minutes after they left, stopped.
Yeah, that was really funny because like my girlfriend was 20 minutes away now, so I could walk to hers in like 35 minutes from the office. So there's no way I was going home. But it started hammering down with snow. Lots of people were like, oh, go. Fucking office emptied. 10 minutes later, it's just absolute sunlight.
I know.
And also, it's just like, I need to get home. And I was speaking to Dale, Dale left. And yeah. It's like, I was getting home and he was like, it was just really busy.
Yeah, it's loads of people. It's
just mad everyone trying to beat the snow.
I had a lovely tube journey home.
Mental.
I probably look insane as well because my drawers at the minute are stocked with like rice and like energy bars. Like,
you got all the water.
Siphoning it from
I was meeting new groups for a beer after work on Friday and I had to come to Balham from here, which is like 40 minute tube ride. And at one point I thought about not coming because I messaged you going, mate, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. And you were like, oh, okay, well, I'll leave a bit early. I do the podcast, put the podcast up, left. And I was like, shit, this is going to be awful. It was one of the best tube journeys I've ever had going south from you. It was like no one on it. Like I was so happy. I was looking around. People must have thought I was fucking mental.
What,
like,
you remember, it's good, like, what you remember is like, this is underground. It's wicked. Yeah. Like, everyone's freaking out about it. It's
madness.
Yeah, Division 2, madness. Black Ops 4.
Ayo.
Announced.
I played 3.
Good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So 4 should hopefully also be fun. That's my hot take.
I didn't know they were on 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was COD Blops 3 futuristic?
It was like the wall running one.
I like the idea of Black Ops like being like covert missions and stuff. Because the original was like in Vietnam, wasn't it?
The original was amazing.
Yes, yeah. Well, the original was like, oh God, the original was freaking amazing.
It was one of my favorite. It was jumping back.
He was being interrogated, wasn't he?
Yeah, about so it was like going back through.
Do something like that.
Yeah. Because it was like, I think just
also you were like insane as well, so you didn't know if you could even trust your own flashbacks, which was
a really clever thing to do.
Yeah,
do that again.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, flashing back and having like stripping back your weapons to just being Vietnam stuff. Plus, they just obviously pumped loads of money into making it look and feel and sound like Vietnam. So good.
Yeah, they had Creedence Clearwater like coming in. We were like riding in the helicopter and everything. Oh,
it's
great.
Cool, man. Vietnam is the best war. I won't have any arguments on that.
To play.
Of all the wars, it is the best.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of other Vietnam video games? Like Vietnam War video games?
There should be more.
I feel like it pops up in...
I feel like it's harder to do like recent wars.
I feel like we kind of doubled down on like Iraq and shit like that. I feel like there was loads of those.
That's a very good point. That's very good.
God, imagine that when it's going to be like Call of Duty Iraq War. That's going to be insane.
But there's already been bits in Iraq. Like Modern Warfare. That's got bits in Iraq.
Yeah, I guess.
It? The Middle East, at least.
Yeah, definitely Middle East.
When is the bloody Falklands game coming? Yeah. I want a cutscene where you're getting like briefed by Maggie.
What I don't understand is
go
like,
on, there are islands.
You know, like they always, like games are always talking about like, oh, you know, we need to extend the life like so of video games so it comes out and the cycle isn't just it comes out, you play it for 2 months and it goes. They obviously wanted to keep on going. Why didn't they just go like, you know how they have, like, we've seen, like, small indie movie directors going off and doing, like, massive, like, films, which is a different, slightly different thing than what I'm trying to say. But why don't they have, like, smaller studios making these mad DLCs for, like, COD? Like, imagine just, like, a tiny little battle. Like, you just mad go, right, stuff, right, we're going to do fucking Hastings DLC. Like, imagine that.
All right, hear me out, boys. Hear me out. I got a good idea for a game, okay?
Titanic COD.
This will be my pitch. You guys be the board. I'm coming in to, like, pitch you the idea.
Can you just call me a bitch?
No, this is my pitch.
Oh, I thought you said you can be my bitch.
No, I said listen to this pitch.
Right. Listen to the pitch.
Okay.
You little bastard. All right. The game is called War.
Yeah.
And it starts, the base game that you buy is old cavemen and just bashing each other with rocks and sticks.
The base game is literally just smashing one man with a rock.
That's what it is. Yeah, but like armies, teams of 100 maybe on each side, running each other, bashing each other. Then the DLC comes out and each DLC package moves you forward in time to like a new age of war.
Yeah.
And then by the end, it's just like...
And it's called For Honor.
Robots. Could be, if you want.
Yeah.
Do they have rocks? Do they start with the rocks?
Yeah, big rocks.
You got to buy the rocks.
Yeah. Rock DLC.
All right, pal, is it one thing I know you're going to be excited about?
Yes.
Fortnite Battle Royale coming to mobile.
I'm weirdly excited about this. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Fortnite recently, especially because they just added yesterday or the day before, they added their like teams of 20 mode.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I was watching you
play that, look nuts.
Like the console and the servers can barely handle it because it's like collective groups of like 20 people dropping into one area, which it just can't handle.
Yeah.
But this is insane. It's coming to mobile. I don't know how this is going to work. Because like you guys, well, I don't think you've played it, Gav, but like you've played it. And that's not an easy game to kind of maneuver around fluidly.
But I think the building would be easier.
You think so?
Some ways. But so Alex, our boss, was telling me about this. And he's similar sort of misgiving about it. But the only way that I wrap my head around this, and I think this is what they're going for, is this game is insanely popular with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like parents are not going to let their kids play PUBG.
No.
They'll let them play this because of the graphical style of it.
It looks like Toy Story.
Yeah, and kids are obsessed with it. My nephew, who is 9, he's obsessed by it.
They love to play it. What's the age rating on?
I'm not sure.
Fortnite.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
I think it's just violence.
Yeah. Nothing else. So he's obsessed with it. He wouldn't, but I've seen him use an iPad.
Right.
He can control a 3D game on an iPad like a controller.
That's amazing.
He doesn't, like, whereas we go from a controller to an iPad, and you're like, this is weird.
Oh, God, are we old?
I think this is the thing. You know, like, when you give someone dual analogs that doesn't play, and they're like, I don't get this. He's like that with an iPad. I've seen him move camera and move. So he would play that on his iPad, and I don't think he'd think it was a really weird experience.
Right. Yeah.
I think he'd be like, sweet, I can play this outside.
That makes sense.
Well, I guess, well,
in the car, I can play Fortnite on 3G.
One of the 4G. Things that was weird, though, was like, it's going to have, I don't know if it's an option or it just has it, but like cross-platform play. Mm. Like, he might be good on a console, but if he goes against someone playing on a PlayStation, like,
I think he just likes running around and doing shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain...
You're saying you're better than him?
Yeah. 1v1 me in Smash, bros. I will lay your cousin out.
My nephew.
Sorry, yeah. Whoever. Nephew, mum, granny, let's go.
You know, you say you don't feel old. You know what he'd say? I don't play, like, that's his dad's game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
That's his granddad's game.
He's like, fucking Back to the Future. You have to use your hands.
He's just like, do you even play Roblox, bro?
Do you even Roblox, bro?
I mean, to be fair, you are right. Like, this is going to make them a shit ton of money. And I think that's obviously why he's doing it.
He's in Roblox and his mum buys him Roblox credits every week.
That's Roblox. Shit.
Like it's like pocket money.
Can you get? Like, you must be able. To, we must be able to get him some Roblox.
I look at the fuck are Roblox.
Do you know what Roblox is?
Mate, this is nuts.
It's like the biggest game that no one knows about, and people probably listening to this podcast are similar to us.
Can we do it for a Twitch channel? Because you've explained to me like it's the Wild West.
So if you listen to this podcast, like obviously you're really into like nerdy stuff, games.
Yeah.
But you probably don't know about this unless you have a kid. Mm. It kind of looks a bit like Minecraft, but it's just kind of a bit like Little Big Planet where you can make, there's like tools where you can make any kind of game you want in it.
Okay.
And so I was watching my nephew and he was playing a game where he was turned into like a lobster and he had to escape from a pet shop. But then there's another one where there's like a fashion show. There's another one where it's like hide and seek. It's like 1,000 games in one.
Right.
But also it's a Wild West in terms of licensing. Because one game is Pikachu. Like it's insane.
In a lobster suit.
Like they do not give a shit. I don't know how it's allowed. It's on Xbox as well.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Should we have a go? To see like the 9 maddest shite we found in Roblox.
It's huge. Yeah. Like I was going to get him Roblox figures for Christmas.
Yeah.
All sold out everywhere on Amazon.
There's figures?
Yeah.
Pikachu, Mario.
I know everyone's like wetting themselves about the Slur Amiibo. They've had Slur Amiibo for years.
Yeah. Someone's just made a Dark Souls in it. Fuck
That's
it.
Insane.
In my head, like, because I
must be Dark Souls Roblox.
I haven't looked at it yet, so I don't know what the thing, but in my head is like, I remember playing like a lot of Second Life. And that was a similar thing as well, because in Second Life, you could just make whatever you want. So you just kind of like fly around. You're like, right, I'm going to go on this ghost train.
Like sport,
and then you fly around somewhere else. You're like, right, I've gone to a sex dungeon.
This kind of reminds me of a few things. It's like when I was a kid, I used to have like loads of Amiga demo discs.
Yeah.
And I would just put anything on and just like play it.
Yeah.
I think when you're a kid, you have far less prejudices.
Yeah.
Like I was even listening to a podcast the other day where Greta Gerwig, the writer director of Ladybird, was saying how she went to a screening with Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
And all the kids thought it was the most hilarious thing they've ever seen.
Yeah.
None of those kids were like, oh, it's in black and white, or it's an old
movie.
Don't
give a shit. Yeah.
They just love like the tension of him setting up a gag, and they were like pissing themselves because they thought it was funny. And I think like a lot of young kids are like that with games. Like he plays robots. Animation's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, the graphics are like, you know, he doesn't have any of those prejudice. He just loves like the actual game
bit. Yeah.
That's good.
Which is what we need to get back to. None of this fucking talking about vertical slices and fucking franchise offerings.
Yeah, he's not going robots. Going, didn't look like this when they announced E3.
Yeah. good stuff. That was a lot of game chat, lads.
Yeah.
What about movies, though?
There's a good movie out today, Gav.
Yes?
Oh, it's called Mom and Dad.
I've heard so much good stuff about this.
Do you know anything about this movie? I don't think many people have heard much about it. It is a 86-minute horror movie. Kind of like concept horror movie, a bit like, not quite like Get Out, but there's kind of a really good central conceit, which is kind of a slightly mystery in the movie that static starts playing on all the TVs and it does something to anyone who has a kid. So parents start turning on their own children and want to kill them.
Okay.
So like you wouldn't
Playing Roblox anymore.
You wouldn't kill like someone else's kid, but you have this like sudden biological urge to kill your offspring.
Damn, that's a cool idea.
And it's like really short, tight horror movie, and just like, but it's also funny. Like there's some mad stuff in it. Like I don't want to go into any specifics apart from one little teaser.
Yeah.
There is a scene which involves a woman giving birth.
Oh, is this the bit where you were going fucking nuts? Because I listened to you watching it this morning.
Jesus.
But it's Nicolas Cage, right?
It's Nicolas Cage. You know, in recent years, like Nicolas Cage become maybe a bit of a parody of himself.
Yeah.
But it completely suits this movie where he has to, within the space of 20 minutes, go from dad to like absolute maniac.
My friend Steve went to watch it the other day and he said, at screening, he said, it's good that people are finally playing Nicolas Cage just to be Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. It absolutely is, because there's actually a good strain in it, because it's a well-worn thing in horror movies of like the evil kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like Village of the Damned or Children, that British one.
Yeah.
This is like the flip where it's like parents taking out the resentment on their children for like encroaching upon their life. So there's a good bit with like Nicolas Cage, because they are playing off his image a bit.
Yeah.
Where he's just like so frustrated as a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this is the midlife crisis and the resentment of having kids.
Yeah.
But taken, literalizing it. And it's like, I want to get rid of my kids so I can go back to being young and cool again.
Oh, that's cool.
Sounds very good.
What is the birth bit?
Well, if you have a sudden biological urge to kill your offspring and you've just become a mother and you're in an operating room.
Oh, man.
And like, there's like a very funny song playing in the background. Oh. It's just like bonkers because this baby just comes out and the mother suddenly wants to kill it. And like everyone's just going crazy in this operating theater.
Really, I want to watch this film. Well, so it's out today,
It's out today.
Boom.
That's very good.
How current are we, lads? Tell you what else is out today. Little game. I like to call Keyword Countdown. If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorized their films by a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done, or what Dave Buxton has done.
Davey B.
He's Dave B Photography on Twitter. Had a little quick look through his Twitter feed. There's some naughties on there.
He takes
a lot of naughty photos.
Hello.
Of beautiful women and men. Are you going on it right now?
Yeah,
dude?
I was
going
to check it out. What's his name?
At Dave BXTN.
Dave.
Dude, are you actually going on it right now?
I was going to check out the...
Dave BXTN,
Oh, got it. He's a photographer.
What about Dave B Photography gave that away?
Got it. There are. Oh, wow. You're going to get an influx of followers in a second there.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Lovely photos. It's okay. Just a body, lads. So what Dave's done...
I love if we were... All, it's like the remake of Stand By Me.
Yeah.
It's just a body, lads.
Just a bloody body. So what Dave's done is taken 5 films, 10 IMDb keywords a piece. You guys have to guess what the film is and what the link is between those films.
Got it.
It's a very good link this week.
It's trying to put myself it's in nothing the mindset. To
do, is it nudes?
Nothing to do with Dave's mucky work.
Beautiful mucky work.
Here we go. Film number one. Robbery.
Ocean's 11.
Double Cross.
Dark Knight.
Pulp Fiction.
Camera focus on female butt.
Outside.
Dave's Instagram.
End of the millennium.
Dave's big job.
Master Thief.
Oh, I know what this is.
Tell me then.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, keep I know going, what keep it reading is. The damn
title spoken by character.
Oh, I know what it is.
Keep going, he hasn't got it.
I know.
He's losing points every time you say something.
I gotta keep going.
Keep going.
Older man, younger woman relationship. Yep,
of course it is. No, it is. Oh, mother...
Beard.
I'm not even...
Scotland.
Fuming now. Of course he is, isn't he?
Final clue.
I remember the shot as well. So it's, she's putting her bum under a laser net.
Final clue. Trap.
What
Entrapment?
Is
it?
Yep. It's 1 point to Cooper. Sorry.
Genuinely, that shot of Kathy Zeta-Jones' bum going under that laser net has stayed with me over
years. Absolutely,
yeah.
It was like on everything.
That must have been national pride for you lot.
Yeah, it was pretty good. There was a big cardboard cutout of it in the video shop, I remember. I've just heard like leaning down. Just like with a massive bum.
I don't think I've ever seen that film.
I don't think I have. It looks shy.
Just the butt.
That's never happened before though, where someone's guessed it and not being able to guess where it actually is.
It's pretty forgettable, mate.
There we go. Entrapment. 1 point to Krupa. Next film. Friendship Between Women.
Thelma and Louise.
Mockumentary. Woman in
Labour.
Woman in Labour.
Mockumentary.
Mockumentary's really thrown me.
Yeah.
It's not something you would think of, as it? But it's a very good film.
You wouldn't think of it as a mockumentary.
Like,
strictly speaking.
It wouldn't come to your mind straight away.
Right, okay.
So don't focus on that.
Okay. What was that third one? Women in Labour.
Woman in Labour. Scene during end credits. Breaking the fourth wall.
Hannah and her sisters.
Double decker bus.
What the hell is this?
Time bomb.
Time bomb?
It's nuts.
Is it on the bus?
Reference to Marilyn Monroe. British pop.
Spice Girls the movie. Oh, but like mockumentary-ish.
I've never
seen it.
No. It's called Spice World, but I will give it to you.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah, Spice World. The last one was Spice Girl. The last clue. So Krups, you got 2 points there.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Do you know what? It's not
mockumentary.
Like it's not a mockumentary. But it's also not that bad. Like
I've never seen it.
It's not like
I've never seen it.
It's when they first, you know, you wouldn't think that it's as good entertaining as it is.
I bet it's if you're watching now, it's an amazing probably impression of that period in time.
Oh, absolutely.
That
one so many cameos.
Like, anyone who was that famous at that particular pinpoint in British culture.
I'm sure it doesn't stand up well, but I remember having a good laugh with it. Here we go, film number 3. Stabbed in the Hand.
Aliens? Oh, no.
Reference to Romeo and Juliet.
True Romance?
Serial Murders.
Jesus.
Natural Born Killers?
Sea Mine.
Sea Mine?
What's that?
Like a sea bomb?
Swan.
Black Swan.
Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I suck today. Damn it.
Five points, Green.
Unbelievable.
No, 6 points, sorry.
You know what? When you said stabbed in hand, I had, there was something there that I...
Yeah.
It's right at the beginning, isn't it?
I thought you might have had it.
Yeah.
I thought stabbed in hand's a good one, yeah. I
probably could have gotten stabbed.
How many have you got now? Six, seven, eight, nine?
He's got three guesses, 9 points.
I can still win?
You can still win.
Is this the last one?
That's the beauty of the game.
Two more. I've got it then.
You can hammer him.
It's the beauty of the game. All right.
Based on a novel.
Howard's End.
You'd never... I didn't know this. So
the remains so not of the day. Lord of the Rings.
Camera shot from inside fridge.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's really good.
There's a lot of those, though.
Character name in title.
It.
Indiana Jones.
That's good.
That's a good guess.
Thank you.
Dysfunctional family.
<It's not it.
laughs> Dysfunctional family.
Throwing something at someone.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's tickled him.
That one.
Male actor playing female character.
Male actor playing female character.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yay! No. Well done.
Ooh. Done it. What is that? 12. Is that 12?
6 points.
6 points. I'm coming for you, Krupa. I'm coming for you. I got you.
Fake accent, cross-dressing, disguise, male nanny.
Did you know that was based on a novel? No.
No, absolutely not. That's throwing me for a loop, that
Yeah,
one.
That's like, that's what I said at the beginning.
Miss Doubtfire.
Fellowship of the Ring. It's loosely based.
Very loosely based.
There you go. 3 points and 9 guesses to Krupa. 1 guess and 6 points to Powers.
I go like, big.
You can get this.
I'm going to. Go slow. Go. Please.
Based on a novel.
Lord of the Rings.
Miss Doubtfire.
Layer cake.
You son of a... You son of a bitch!
Do you know what the link is? Oh, yes!
That's why.
Well done! Oh, you give it out and he took it away. 10 points, Krupa. The other ones, begins with narration, communist insurgent, ends with narration, man in it lollipop, drug manufacturing, narrated by character, hitman, drug dealing, food in title. Krupa, what's the link?
Bond actors.
Yeah. Sean Connery is Entrapment. Roger Moore's in Spice World. Timothy Dalton in Hot Fuzz. Pierce Brosnan in Mrs. Doubtfire. Daniel Craig in Layer Cake. Absolute masterclass from Krupa there. 19 points, and then the extra point gets him 20. Boom.
Well done, Daniel.
I like your powers, though. You got Mrs. Doubtfire, 6 points.
Got it.
Boom. That was a banger.
It was. Well done.
That the business guys.
You joined the prestige league of people who've been able to guess it on
that's one. My Smash Bros.
Yeah, that's your Smash Bros.
Keyword countdown.
Let's get some feedback then.
First bit of feedback is from Josh.
Hi Josh.
Ooh, do I read all of this? Yeah. So I'm a few podcasts behind, but in the one I just listened to, you guys mentioned both Koreans and chemistry.
Oh, this
and
is a good.
Seeing as I work in a chemistry lab in Korea,
what?
I felt like you were basically forcing me to write in. We were. Thanks, Josh.
This is cool.
So this was in relation to Black Panther, I think, the other week. So there's a scene that takes place in Korea.
I don't think I was on that. I don't think anyone was on that.
I went to watch Black Panther on release date here. Needless to say, the theater was packed, and as usual, I was the only non-Korean. But something I did not see coming happened during this movie that I wanted to tell you about. So, spoiler, the spoiler for Black Panther here. There's a section of the film that takes place in Korea, by far the best part of the film for me. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
When Busan is mentioned, you can hear an audible, oh, go throughout the entire crowd. You could feel the excitement, and this was in Seoul, the other side of the country. And then the big scene comes, and Lupita Nyong'o's character speaks in Korean to the old Korean lady.
Yeah.
Which he uses the word ajuma.
Hmm.
Word for an old Korean lady.
Very cool.
The place erupts in laughter. It was mental. People had tears running down their faces. There was people leaving the theaters to calm down.
This essentially continues
until the car chase sequence.
Aww.
After they chill out, and it's a pretty standard cinema experience. But the rest of the film, I couldn't stop thinking about those 5 minutes and how strange they were.
Yeah.
After it, I was speaking to my friend about it, who is Korean. And I was like, what was that all about? They just said it was so funny seeing a foreigner speak Korean.
Yeah.
I guess that's so unusual.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was wondering if you had anything, any experience with a similar?
Yeah, I do actually. That is an amazing story. It's amazing.
Like, that's like, why I kept all, the whole thing.
Also, I want to know, like, how have you ended up working in a chemistry lab in Korea? What an amazing career.
Tell
thanks,
us
Josh.
About
that's
that.
An awesome email.
Witness protection program, I reckon.
Shit, he's written in. Oh, he said, don't use my name. Oh, God. I've been WITSEC.
Thanks, Craig.
He's used the Korean word for WITSEC.
Mr. Thompson, that was. We'll edit that out, Dale. I went to Munich on holiday with an ex-girlfriend. Not, we were going out at the time. It wasn't weird. He's like, one more shot. Let's do it. Come on, Munich's going to save us.
Yeah, can I come too?
Yeah. And we went to see, what was it called? Matt Damon film, The Informant, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Where he plays like, it's a very, very, very good film. Where he plays kind of like, it's based on a true story, like some sort of idiot insurance dude who ends up kind of working for the CIA, but he's sort of delusional and he's like a compulsive liar.
Right.
But there's, and it's kind of like this weird narration going through as well. So I was in a cinema in Munich on the Sunday, because we'd had like a pretty heavy like 3 days, and we were like, should we just go to the cinema tonight? And we heard this like this really old theater-style cinema, so we went to see that. It's a really, really small screen, and there's a bit in it where Matt Damon, I think I might have talked about this on the podcast before, I'm not sure, but there's a bit in it where Matt Damon's character is in Germany, and he goes, oh, do you know what my favorite German word is? Kugelschreiber. And the guy he's talking to is like, why? He's like, that's just pen. That's what the name is for pen. And he's like kind of making a joke of like German people like, you know, going above and beyond
for simple word.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What for us would be one syllable.
Yeah. And so he did that. But obviously for us, it was because it was in English. We were watching it in English. And we were like, yeah, that's good. But then because we were in Munich, it was fucking people losing their mind being like, yeah, that's what we call it. That's what we call it. Maddie knows. They went mental.
I guess you maybe... It's obviously just speaking English. You don't really have that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But the same as I remember, I went to see when I saw the remake for The Evil Dead. The beginning of that is set in Argentina because the director's Argentinian, which is kind of close to Patagonia where there's a lot of Welsh speakers.
Which is weird, that isn't it?
Yeah,
weird, this is just a weird historical migration.
Yeah, it's like a mining thing. But yeah, so there's a lot of people in. I've always wanted to go.
The two main immigrant populations, South Africa, South America, are Welsh people and Nazis.
But yeah, I've always wanted to go to Patagonia for it because you walk around and you hear this weird Welsh dialect being spoken on the streets, which would be class. But because of that, when he was researching The Witch at the beginning of The Evil Dead and what she should sound like, I think...
All right, lovelies!
Yeah, one of his friends suggested, like Welsh has got a lot of like... like stuff like that. So
it's a witch language.
He was like, witch game! So I was,
well, don't speak it on the third Sunday under a full moon.
Like, definitely don't read from that fucking Welsh book.
The one with the face on it. Yeah.
So I was sitting I was interviewing the director the next day. So I was sitting there going, that does sound weirdly Welsh. And then I spoke to him the next day. I said, is it Welsh at the beginning of that? He was like, yeah, well, he's like, there's a bunch of languages, but yeah, there's a couple of sentences in Welsh as well. But I remember just being like, because obviously I go on fucking Wales all the time. I was with a friend. I was like, that's Welsh. She was like, shut the fuck up. It's not Welsh.
Watching the film.
It's witch.
I will curse you so hard.
He said witch, not Welsh, you stupid idiot. But yeah, good stories. Well done. If that's ever happened to any of you guys, let us know. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Yes.
Here we go. This is from Chris Goodwin. He says, here's a brief tale from my wife and I's trip to London for our wedding anniversary. We won't warn you, it gets a little blue. He didn't say that. I said that. It was the 7th day of March, the year of our Lord Finchie, 2018. Finchie's a character from Prepared to Try channel. You should watch that. youtube.com/PreparedToTry. We were just getting off the tube at Tottenham Court Road station to visit Primark, that is, isn't it? For some of that sweet, sweet Harry Potter merch, which is by our old office as well.
Oh, yeah.
As we were traveling the escalator to leave the station, a gorgeous blonde-haired specimen of a man entered the station and started going down the escalator next to us. As I was considering leaving, my wife there and then... As I was considering leaving my wife there and then for this absolute unit, he spoke, and a beautiful American accent escaped his lips, and I realised who I was staring at. It was Rory fucking Powers. Suddenly, 1,000 butterflies started flapping around my stomach, and all brain function ceased. I attempted to say something resembling a greeting, but couldn't. All I could do was stare, and no doubt make Rory feel very uncomfortable. 2 seconds later, he disappeared into the crowd, and I've got to live the regret that the one time I see one of you IGN guys, I forget how to act like a normal human. Anyway, my question is, have you ever legitimately been starstruck when meeting a celebrity? Thanks. Chris from Rotherham. Do you remember this? Do you remember him?
Yeah, it was like 2 days ago.
What, do you actually remember this thing happening?
No, I don't remember like this gormless figure staring at me as I passed down. I will say on this note, always say hi. I think we all kind of feel that same way. Like, it doesn't bother me.
So you haven't lost that. Like you always say, I haven't lost the common touch.
Yeah,
that's what you always say.
Exactly. I'm one of you guys. Especially if we're ever with people.
If we're ever with people who are not IGN people, because I know a lot of people might think that's annoying, but I'll dine out on that meeting for ages. Be like, oh, remember when we were in Primark and those people came up to us?
Yeah, I think I was with my girlfriend at the time. So if you had come up, that would have been like cashing some checks.
Embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
The best time that ever happened to me was like, it's just like years ago now, but it's the first time I was like hanging out with my ex-girlfriend after we'd broken up, and I found out her new boyfriend was coming.
What?
And I was just like, a good amount of time had passed. I was like, it's fine.
Not enough.
And we were in the bar at the BFI, and we were all sitting around having a drink.
Was he there as well?
Yep.
Yes.
And all sitting around having a drink. And then guys came up with his girlfriend. He's like, oh, hello. I just wanted to introduce myself. Do you mind if we get a picture?
Oh.
And I was like, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
He's like,
I thought you were going to say.
I reckon you started out as off cool, and then you were like, do you want to get a picture of these fucking mugs as well? No? Oh, just me. Oh, that's weird. Do you hear that? Just one picture of me. Just me. Okay, fine.
I know that story makes me sound like a prick, but just give me that moment, okay?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that your ex brought her boyfriend. He showed up and he was like, Daniel Krupa. Like, you dated the fucking lore master. He's like, Jesus. He's bowing down to you. You signed my Finchie t-shirt. He's like, do you Redbubble that?
Jesus. I've been Star Trek a couple of times, but only like noticeable. I've managed to keep it a thing. Like John C. Reilly, I thought I was going to die when I met him because I just love him so much. And this was like a year ago right now, actually, which is mental. But I managed to keep that under control. One that I just wasn't expecting, and I just forgot how to sit in a chair, was Priyanka Chopra. I was out in Miami.
I saw the B-cam,
he was horrible. I was out in Miami interviewing all the Baywatch cast, and Priyanka Chopra's in that. And like, Priyanka Chopra is what I would describe as a goddess. Like, it is nuts, because she's lovely, she's really funny, and she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen with my eyes. It's mental. So I walked into the room and they said, oh, she's not in there. So I was like, okay, cool.
She's in there, but you have to find her.
Yeah. They were like, oh, she'd be there in a second. Marco. I was like, oh, no worries. So I walked in, but she was sitting in there. So I was kind of just walking in, and then all of a sudden, because you're not expecting
to see
someone.
You're doing like a goblin walk. Yeah. Like,
going, me and Priyanka gonna be talking.
It's like scratching your balls, like shoulders rolled over like a Neanderthal.
Because I wasn't expecting to see her when I walked in, and she's just there, and she, I mean, if you don't know who she is, like Google her, because she's fucking incredible. She was just there, and I didn't know she was going to be there, so I was like, oh, hi, I'm doing the interview. She was like, oh, good, did you see the film? And I was like, yeah. She's like, what do you think? I was like, yeah, I thought it was all right. She's like, what do you think about Miami? And I said, yeah. She's like, oh, you're from London, right? And I said, well, I'm from Wales. Like,
have you done this?
But she'd been to Wales. She knew about Wales, so we started chatting. But I just got really flustered, and I sat down in this chair, and then, you know, when just you have a fucking massive brain fart, I sat down in this chair, and I was like, how do you sit in chairs? Shit. And I was just like,
he sat in the opposite way around.
Honestly,
do my knees bend forwards or backwards?
Honestly, that's what was going on. I sat down, and then I was like sitting on the edge. I was like, oh, I'm sitting. And the guy in the camera was like, oh, you're sitting a bit too pits too forward. Do you mind moving back? I moved more forward.
You're like an inch
away. It was nuts. And then I just got, and then I was wearing like a shirt and a waistcoat. And it's boiling because it's fucking Miami. And I started sweating, and then I could feel myself sweating.
That's the worst, when you feel it and then it like opens the gates.
Like, I didn't have I usually have a hanky on me. I carry a hanky everywhere. Didn't have my hanky on me, so I was fucking I was just like, oh my God. And then I was just holding.
You're right, I've lost my hanky.
I was holding the arms of the chair because I thought that would help me. Didn't.
Do we still have this footage?
We do. it was absolutely mental. Like, I don't know how much of it they've actually recorded, but it's horrible.
This has happened to you before, though, because I remember at one point you telling me about a similar situation where you forgot how to walk, like the right way to walk, and you're like, your pacing was off, and you were like bobbing on your feet because you couldn't remember. Like,
that's when
how
I was hungover.
Walk.
I wasn't hungover this time. I just generally got flustered. Then the interview went fine, and like, I made her laugh a couple of times, so that was really good. And then I was just sitting in the hotel bar afterwards, and I just rattled off this stupid tweet, which was like, oh, just interviewed Priyanka Chopra. Didn't at her or anything, didn't use fucking hashtags or anything. Just went, oh, just interviewed Priyanka Chopra and she was so amazing I forgot how I was sitting on a chair. And I just put that off. But like Priyanka Chopra's got this mad following on Twitter. Try it. Just tweet anything about Priyanka Chopra, right? I'd say anything nice.
Just do it when we plug this podcast.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you tweet it out, or there's like a million different Priyanka Chopra fan Twitter accounts.
Like bots and stuff.
But like some of them, but some of them are not bots. Oh, some of them are run by people. One of them's got like 100,000 followers. And it is obviously got a search thing lined up. Yeah. So anytime someone tweets about Priyanka Chopra, he checks it. If it's good, he retweets it. He fucking retweets that. Then loads of people started piling in and going, ah, this is so funny, at in Priyanka Chopra and being like, what are you doing? Stop doing this. And I was just watching this all unfold, just like, I should just delete the tweet, but I was like, I kind of just want to see what happens now. And it just started going mental to the point then I went to bed and I woke up the next day and my phone was just, it's just gone insane on Twitter. And she'd quote retweeted that going, oh, don't worry, I thought you were very lovely. And then I just fucking opened up another thing of like loads of other Twitter people then going on, oh, it was nuts. What a day. What a day. But that's the only time I've ever been legitimately
Star Trek. You still sit in chairs weird to this day.
Just in case she comes in going, oh, remember this? This will always be a thing we have. Remember me? Remember me? Go on, Paul.
I got a bit of email feedback here from Kyle. Kyle says, hello to you, IGN podcast crew, Duck Hunt, etc. I've been thinking that as we draw closer to the end of March, certain communities and religious celebrate the second coming of Jesus Christ by going on... by gorging on chocolate eggs.
You picked all these. I'm interested to see where this goes.
However, it's a really good twist here. I'd like to know about a different kind of Easter egg.
Oh.
See? It's good. Oh. Nice one, Kyle. Nice. The kind placed in certain entertainment vehicles in order to reward the astute consumer. Do you guys have a favorite within film, TV, or gaming that really tickles your pleasure?
Not prepare this.
That's a really good one. That's a really good
Kyle
question.
Kyle says he really likes... in the final episode of Black Mirror season 4, the Black Museum.
Yeah.
Easter egg. Stuff in that. He says, what's your favorite? Or what has he missed?
I tell you what, that feels like it's a really good one. Let's save that. We'll put it out to everyone at home, IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. And then next week, we'll do a little section on our favorite Easter eggs so we can prep some bits.
That's a good idea.
Let's do that. Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good basically, idea. It'll be the IGN UK podcast equivalent of Ready Player One. Bet you can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Last email. Hail Britannians.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. It's from Casey. I didn't originally get into Mad Men.
Jesus Christ.
I never watched beyond the first season, but picked it up again after Gav had praised it so much.
It is good.
I'm now up to season 4 and enjoying it more than I would have thought.
Yes, mate.
But find it harder to watch Ken Cosgrove now that he's featured more, since he's also clearly... Detective Cole Phelps,
yeah,
but with the wrong jawline. I keep expecting him to truth, doubt, lie someone, and it is distracting me. I had the same issue when playing Bioshock once I realized that Armin Quark from Deep Space Nine was the voice of Andrew Ryan.
Yeah.
Now, when hearing him ask if a man not entitled to sweat off his brow, all I can think about is that sweat being on a huge Ferengi brow. And a lot of Ryan's philosophy probably does fit with some of the rules of acquisition.
Hmm.
I think in the past you have mentioned that you've noticed Harry Crane from Mad Men was the main character in Firewatch, but are there other instances where an actor is giving a good performance in a TV, movie, or video game, but you can't shape one of their past performances?
I feel like that with Jon Hamm, to be fair. Like, no matter what I see him in, he's just always Don Draper for me.
Do you think it happens when... their first big thing is their defining
thing.
Yeah,
because you've watched...
because there's no priors and there's no one-off stuff. Like, he was that character for, like, so many years.
Yeah, absolutely. James, like, I think more with TV shows, because you spend so many hours with these people. Like, I can't watch James Gandolfini in anything. That's fucking Tony Soprano.
Mm. Yeah, like,
even though he's done amazing stuff and I've gone, he is very, very good. Like in The Loop, he's fucking incredible and he's got like a small part in that, but he's very, very good in that. But I always think of him as Tony Soprano.
It's got to be relative though as well, because like I grew up watching once every year Michael Caine as Scrooge.
Yeah.
And then obviously when I got old enough to start watching like his other movies, I'm like, why is fucking Scrooge putting Alfred people in dreams?
Yeah.
Why is it insane?
Why is he cooking eggs for Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
One video game
letters.
Thing.
Is that what happened? You did it's a big 180 and decided to help Batman instead.
One video game thing for me is the guy who plays the kid in GTA 5. Because that's the kid from Pete and Pete, which is like my favorite TV show as a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's him. And it's just, it's really weird because I fucking hated that character as well. Like the son, Michael's son. But I loved him in Peter Pete.
For me, it's Sarah Lancashire. She's always going to be Raquel from Coronation Street.
Absolutely. That is such a bang on one.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps on going about Happy Valley.
I watched two seasons of Happy Valley and I was like, Raquel's having a nightmare here. She's getting...
But she misses Curly.
Yeah. So Curly, she's amazing in that show. She's an incredible actress. And like a lot of probably... it's on Netflix and things. Yeah. She's like a British TV actress. She's phenomenal. But when she's like doing horrible stuff in Happy Valley, it's like...
Yeah.
Should have stayed in The Rover's Return.
I haven't watched...
got a stab vest on now.
I'm pretty far behind on Walking Dead, but I know that Stephen Ogg is in it.
Yeah, he's Trevor.
Who played Trevor.
Oh,
and like,
right.
That is
literally Trevor, so...
Again, because that's the first thing of note as well.
Yeah.
It's either when they've done something for so long or the first thing is so distinctive and impactful that it's hard to dislodge that until you see them into...
Has Martin Freeman done enough for you guys yet to not be just him anymore? Or you still really kind of see him and you're like, it's Tim, isn't it?
I saw a really good tweet from my...
I don't know, actually.
My friend Sarah did a really good tweet the other day where she was just like, it was like a picture of Martin Freeman on the poster for Black Panther. She was like, I need to stop thinking of Martin Freeman as like, oh, boy done, you know, little British boy done good. It's like, this fucking award-nominated actor.
I know. You're like, he finally got out of the paper business.
Yeah.
It's better to be on the bottom rung of a ladder you want to climb.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, in 10 years' time, I could be in Black Panther.
Well, I watched...
Wakanda. Could be Wakanda.
I watched... Find a make-believe jet in Wakanda.
The Peep Show guys were in a TV show together. Like, the two main Peep Show guys were in a TV show together recently. I was watching it going like, I know it's not meant to be Peep Show, but... You're obviously fucking...
It's two people.
You're the two people from Peep Show.
Yeah. Oh, my brother's
that was in End of the Fucking World. When in one episode of 10 minutes, Superhands turns up.
Oh, really?
Or he's not even... He's in it for like 5 minutes. And he turns up as... I think he's like a teacher or a social worker. And you go, well, Superhands.
Yeah.
He can't be a social worker.
A social worker, That's true. He's always going to be Superhands, isn't he?
Yeah. It does seem like it's more of a thing with... TV than it is for movies and stuff.
I guess it's just more time to get.
I guess some Bond actors have struggled.
Yeah, one guy as well. I just think, well, no, you've done that character now, and we talked about it earlier on the podcast. But fucking Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Anytime I see him,
when you hear his voice,
when I try him doing something, you're like, no, your dick between your legs, mate.
Like, you ever watch Monk? that guy
is he in that
Tony Shalhoub who has like OCD? Yeah, I think he's like his like
superior.
Yeah. Same, you go. He's wrong-un.
That's
a voice of a wrong-un.
He plays like the head of the department and stuff like that a lot.
That voice is...
You talking about Bond actors just reminded me, I had his mad dream last night where I got a big package delivered here to the office, like a massive box. And I opened it up and inside was just one letter. I just opened it up and it said, Daniel Craig is returning as James Bond. And that was it. Not like the name
of
the film.
That's a good campaign.
That was it. I was like, all right. No release date, no.
Was it like in loads of packing peanuts?
Yeah, it was massive. So weird.
What did you do with it?
I swear, all right.
Did you tell Joe?
I didn't tell anyone.
You should have told Joe.
What, for news?
News, yeah.
He would have got his own package if he was meant to know it. Think about that.
Wait.
You think I'm going to blow an agent's name to the public?
So much going on. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. I know we keep going on about it, but if we don't, then how will people know about it? But go to youtube.com/prepared to try and subscribe to us. Otherwise, maybe they'll make a stop from doing it. I don't know what, at what point they just go, this is a bust. Back to your 9-to-5 grind. You're like, oh, can we do Prepared to Try? No. It's like, well, that's a lot of our day. So yeah, you got a lot of time back now. So
we're setting up our own coke deal.
Yeah.
What kind of dirty drink can we get?
I don't mean like in an Escobar way.
Yeah. thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.